Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, Brother Leroy and Sister Amy are going to get a repeat of my message that I spoke at Covenant Church just a couple weeks ago. Because the Lord has led me in a direction that we're going to go to verse 28, and we're going to break down verse 28 into three distinct areas. The first one is going to be, come unto me. The second area is going to be, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the third area is going to be, and I will give you rest. Now, we're going to just explore this morning the first area, and that is, come unto me. Come unto me. And I think it's a pretty good area to start out in, especially as we're talking about the Lord's Supper and the feet washing. And we're going to be talking about a certain group of people. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as we look unto this, come unto me. Now, he's talking to a certain group of people there, and he also, in the second area, he makes a qualifying statement. He just doesn't want everybody to come unto him, because not everybody can come unto him. But he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So he's giving us an invitation. He's qualifying who that invitation is given to. And in the third part, we're going to see that he promises something unto those that come unto him that are laboring and are heavy laden. And he's going to make a promise. He says, and I will give you rest. Now, when Jesus says, I'm going to give you rest, you're going to have rest. And I can't wait until we get into that third part. But we're just going to look at that first part. Come unto me. Now, Jesus invites, he's inviting people, isn't he? And he's encouraging those people to come unto him. He's talking to these people. And he's saying, come. The word come denotes an invitation. When someone knocks on your door, when you say come in, that's inviting them to come in, isn't it? Come in. And the unto me is a calling of those same that he has invited in. It's a calling. Come unto me. What a wonderful invitation. If you have heard the Lord sit there and say those words unto you, come unto me, you know, you realize how wonderful those words sounded into your ears when you heard those. Come unto me. You know, we talk about, you know, in the acronym for TULIP, irresistible grace. When you hear those words that Jesus speaks here, and you can hear those words, and when it says, come unto me, you cannot resist. You cannot resist when he says, come unto me. And we would sit there and say, well, gee, who would want to resist Jesus Christ? As we were talking on Wednesday evening about the Gadarenes, that man that was in the tombs, and he came out, remember, he was real fierce and everything. As we were looking at that and studying upon it a little bit Wednesday night, the people came out when they had seen everything that Jesus had done. Now, you would think when they saw this man sitting, the Bible says sitting, and he was clothed and in his right mind, you would think that a group of people like that would sit there and say, invite Jesus to come and stay with them, right? But what did they do? We learned on Wednesday evening that they prayed. These people prayed that Jesus would depart from them. That's kind of strange, isn't it, Brother Mark? That somebody would pray that Jesus would go away from them. I mean, we're praying, I hope we're praying, that, you know, Jesus would come unto us. But here he is saying, I want you to come unto me. Come unto me. It's almost hard to not go on to these other two areas. But we're going to explore some verses. We're going to explore some verses. First, we're going to look at come. Then we're going to look at some things about calling. Calling. First place we want to look at this morning is, turn to John chapter 14. We're going to start reading at verse 1. We're really going to get down to verse 6, but let's look at start at verse 1. Jesus is speaking, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now there's wonderful words there. Wonderful words that are contained inside these verses here. But you know what? Let's look at verse 5 for just a little second. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Hasn't there really been a question that's been in our hearts? How do we know the way? How can we know that way? And Jesus very plainly answers the question that Thomas asks of him. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the way. He is the only way. He is the only truth that was in this world. And He is the life. He is the life. And He is what? He is the giver of life. He is the one who has given unto us spiritual life. There's no other way to get spiritual life but through Jesus Christ. He is the giver. See, He gives us things. He promises things. And I like this verse because I am. That always reminds me when Moses asked God, you know, "Who do I say has sent me to Israel? What should I say unto them when they ask me?" "Tell them, I am, hath sent you." And we sit there and we say, God says He is the great I am. And now we sit there and Jesus says, "I am. I am the way. I am the way." And as we're looking at come unto me, He says, now we know why we have to come unto Him. We have to come unto Him because no man, do you understand that? No man, no individual can come unto the Father but through Jesus Christ. That's what it's saying. But by me. That means you have to go through Jesus Christ to get into the Father. So when Jesus back in Matthew says, "Come unto me," that's who you have to go to. You can't go to anyone else. You can't go to God through these two brothers that are sitting here, and they'll be the first to tell you that. You can't go through man to get to the Father. You can't go through any man. I don't care what religion, whoever wants to say it. Unless they're reading from a different Bible than what I am, it says that no man can come unto the Father but through me. And that's the gospel, and that's the truth. Because why? Because Jesus just said it. He just said it. So, if you want to come unto the Father, you have to go through Jesus Christ. That's why He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. When we go to prayer, we need to go to prayer through Jesus Christ in the Spirit. And He will intercede on our behalf to the Father. That's a promise. That's a promise. We're talking about promises today. He's promised. He promised. He makes a promise earlier in these verses. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also." Now that word "there" has actually been inserted by the translators, and sometimes I like it without those words in there sometimes. And this is one of those places that I like it, because He says, "That where I am, ye may be also." So, if you're a child of God today, you have a promise that has been given unto you, that you are going to be where Jesus is. What a wonderful thing. We're going to go a little bit earlier into John, into chapter 6, and if you would turn there. It's another one of those. I really put down 35 through 37, but I'm going to go back to 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Let's read verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I could keep going on reading these verses, brother. They're just wonderful. Let's just stop there. So, he says that he is that bread of life. We're going to have the Lord's Supper and feet washing. We're going to have the bread, the unleavened bread, that is symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. And this tells us that same thing here. He is that bread of life. I am the bread of life. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Again, we see these things. For the bread of God is he, that's Jesus Christ, is he which cometh down from heaven. There's only one that has come down from heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And he gives life unto the world. Now, we've all got life, don't we? We're all walking around with our 2 feet. We're going around. We're going to our jobs. We're going around. We're doing a lot of different things. We have life, don't we? We have a physical life, a physical being in this world. The life that he imparts unto us is that spiritual life. That spiritual life. When he comes unto, when we come unto him, he gives things unto us, and he gives it to us freely. He gives us spiritual life. We didn't have that before. We lost that many, 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 many years ago, when Adam sinned. We lost that. And the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was the beginning. But you know what? He comes back. He sent his Son into the world to give us spiritual life. That light that shineth out of the darkness and into our hearts. Verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. You're never going to hunger of spiritual things. He's going to give us all those spiritual things that we need. In Ephesians chapter 1, it seems in verse 3, he says that he gives us all. You know what, let me go to there before I misquote it. Even though I do remember it, sometimes I do. I draw a blank sometimes when I go into the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So you cannot take Christ out of the equation, can you? In any of these things, we cannot take him out of the equation. He is in all of this. No man can come unto the Father but through him. All these things, it's Jesus Christ is the main part of the equation. You take Jesus out of any part of those equations and you never get the end result. You can't get the answer. But with Jesus Christ in the equation, we get to that end answer, don't we? And that's immortal glory. How wonderful it is. We got the answer beforehand, don't we? We got the answer. And it's with us. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you don't want to hunger and you don't want to thirst after those spiritual things, come unto him. If you're hungering and thirsting for spiritual things, spiritual blessings, those things that be of God, go unto him. Go unto him. And he will give you all of those things. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father gives him is going to come unto him. That's why I said, it is, you don't have nothing to do with it. You don't have nothing to do with it. When he says, come unto me, you are going to come unto him. Because he's calling you, because the Father has given you unto him, and you are going to come unto him. You can fight it. You can do whatever you want. But sooner or later, you are going to submit to the mighty hand of God. You will do it. We've got a lot of evidences of it right here in this church. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And we've got another promise here. Man, I guess we could just preach a bunch of sermons just on the promises of God. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Praise God. Man, I mean, we should be lifting up holy hands, brother. You know that? Maybe I'm getting a little bit too excited. Man, we should be lifting up holy hands. Because, man, when we come unto him, he is not going to cast us away. Why would he want to turn you out when he says, come on in? Come on in. When we knock on that door, he says, come on in. Come on in. And he invites us in. And he says, there's a song in our songbook. We got to learn how to sing. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. We may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You don't want to hunger? You don't want to thirst? Come on in, Jesus says. Come on into my table. Sit down. I've got it laid out with just wonderful spiritual food for you. And spiritual drink. Just come on in. You're never going to hunger. You're never going to hunger. Because Jesus is always going to feed us. You're thirsty? Ask. If you hunger, ask. For everyone that asketh, receive it. To him that seeketh, they're going to find. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. Promises. Look in here. The Bible is filled with promises for you. Come unto me. Ah, it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. As I look and I study this out, that's why I wanted to kind of speak it here again. And not only just speak it again, but to sit there and to continue on with this, to see how wonderful and how good Jesus is unto us. Not everyone can come to Jesus. We've discussed that. Let's go over that just for a second again. Not everyone can come to Jesus. Only those that the Father give him. We just read it right here. This coming is to be understood of believing in him. Believing in him. I got a verse. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay? This coming is to be understood of believing in him. How can we come unto God? How can we come unto Jesus if we don't believe that they are, and that they are a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? That means diligently seeking. That means we're going after him. We're coming to him. It's all the same thing. And that he is a rewarder. Now when he rewards with something, he has promised us something. And when he promises, he's going to reward us with those promises. How wonderful he is. But we have to believe that he is. The going of the soul to him. Love to him. Faith and hope in him. Desiring after him. In the exercise of grace in him. Isn't he just wonderful to us? believing in Him and coming to Him, coming to Christ, are synonymous. It's the same thing. Believing in Him and coming to Him, it's the same thing. It's all in one. How wonderful it is when we can do those things. It's really fantastic. Those that the Father gave Him, or gives unto Him, Jesus, are a certain group of people. Not a certain group of people is sinners. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are, what? Sinners. So, that certain group of people that are going to come unto Him are sinners. Those that are laboring and heavy laden. I'm sorry, like I said, it's hard to distinguish these three one from the other because they're so interwoven together. We are sinners. And God the Father knows who those people are. He knows who those sinners are. And He reveals Jesus to them. God the Father reveals Jesus to us. We can preach about Jesus. We can preach about Jesus. We can preach about the good news. See, when I've been praying a lot for Brother Jeff as he's been, because I know he's been going out around in some of these countries. Do you know what he's going out doing? He's evangelizing. What's evangelizing? You know? That's going out and spreading the good news. Spreading the good news. And what is the good news that Brother Jeff is going out and he's preaching? And Brother Herb and Brother Zach and all of these that are going around, as they're going on, they're preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. That He died upon the cross for our sins. And He's telling them about the wonderful promises. And He's telling them about the things like, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The invitation that He gives unto all these people. He reveals them unto us. Let's turn back into the book of Matthew. We're going to look at that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Prayed I don't get too long-winded the rest of the time. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, now he's asking His disciples a hard question here, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. Now you see why I say that. We can't reveal that unto you. Only God reveals unto you that Jesus Christ is the Son of the only living and true God that is in the world. So if it's revealed unto you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you know what? You can hear that call that comes unto you. Because until you have those spiritual ears to hear that Lord calling you, you can't hear it. Because why? It's a spiritual call that is being given to you. And because of that, without the spiritual ears, you cannot hear that call at all that is coming unto you. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Remember, we had read this verse, and I didn't want to give it away, even though I read these verses. All things are... Verse 27, I apologize. Chapter 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto Me of My Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Remember, He says, if you say you know the Father, you should know Me, for I came from My Father. Because a lot of them are saying, well, who are you? You know, we don't know who you are. And He was telling them, but why couldn't they hear it? Why couldn't they understand? because they didn't have spiritual ears to hear it. It had not been given unto them to hear the things of the kingdom of God. They didn't understand it. That this was the very Christ. This was the Savior that was to come into the world to save them. Now they, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, saw no need of a Savior to save them from their sins. They were looking for a Savior to deliver them from the Roman bondage they were in. On Isaiah, he says, you know what, Jesus is not going to be comely, that we should desire Him for what He looked like. Because remember, when Israel sat there and said, we want a king. I'm getting off a little bit, but bear with me. When Israel said, you know, we want a king. We want a king to reign over us. And remember, if you read in the Old Testament, it says that when Saul stood up, he was head and shoulders higher than anybody else. So Israel was like, wow. Now this is what we want. We want somebody in the flesh and blood. We want this big guy. You know, it would be like Bill's pretty tall, taller than most of us here. And when Bill stood up, you know, you look at how he's higher than everybody. Well, that's what it was like. They saw this big, and they were thinking, now this is a king. This is a king. But what did they say? They have not rejected you, they've rejected me. And that's what Israel was doing. They were rejecting Him because they were looking for somebody to lead them into the battle. So when Jesus came into the world, they're expecting somebody to look like Saul. Now, I don't know what he looked like except what Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, tells us. So evidently, he was not a tall individual, broad-shouldered, muscled, or anything like this. Because if it was, they probably would have started listening to him. But they didn't. Because he didn't come into the world to be desired for something that would look good to what they wanted. Remember Eve. What did Satan sit there and say? Hey, isn't that fruit good to look upon? And if you taste it, it's going to be great. It's going to taste good. And when you eat it, you know what? You're going to be like the gods. You're going to know the difference between good and evil. Whoa, that's something I think I really want, you know? But see, when they looked at Jesus, it was something that they what? They didn't want. Because it wasn't what? It wasn't what they expected. But isn't it wonderful that we don't have that preconceived notion of what Jesus Christ is? Don't look at those pictures that are in the Bible. They're only drawings. That's a man's interpretation. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They want to draw something to make people sit there and say, you know what? Wow. He's kind of good looking. You know? Yeah, now that was something I would want. But that isn't what God wanted. So we should be thankful that the Son has revealed God unto us and who He is. You know, Jesus has all the things relating to the peace, the comfort, the happiness, and the salvation of man in His hands. You know, those hands of Jesus that sit there and hold us and keeps us up during the hard times. That's hands. You know, there's an insurance company, you know, it says you're in good hands with Allstate, you're in good hands with Jesus. Amen. That's where I'd rather be, in the hands of Jesus, not in the hands of Allstate. Calling. See, He's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. He's calling us unto Him. He's making that invitation, and it's a calling all in one. Come unto me. We're going to look at some of these verses here real quick. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4.
I'll get there too.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So there's one body, there's one spirit. In verse 5 it says, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all, and in you all, and there is only what? One calling. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. And that calling is of Jesus Christ. Come unto me. Come unto me. And we've already realized and understand there's only one. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He's the only way. So he's telling us, come unto me. Come unto me. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The power of God. It is the power of God that has saved us and has called us with what? An holy calling. And that calling is not according to our works. We are not saved by our good works. And we're not called. We are not called because of any good works that we have done in our lives. But according to His own purpose and grace, according to God's purpose and His grace, we have received a calling, which was given us. I told you, you can't take Christ Jesus out of anything, can you? Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Can't take it out of it. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world. Before the world began. It's wonderful. We talk about promises. We see these promises. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 28 through 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Let's read verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So we are called according to His purpose. And if we are called according to His purpose, all things are going to work together for our good. Now, I'm not saying that all things that are going to be working towards this end result are good things that are going to happen to us. But God can use it for our good. We've seen many instances in the Old Testament and in the New Testament how He has worked together for good to them that love God, all things. Verse 39. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So if you've been predestinated, what does that mean? That means that your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. If your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are going to receive a calling. Whom He called, them He also justified. And I didn't want to get into justification, but Brother Jimmy, he knows justification. I didn't want to tread upon his ground there a little bit. I couldn't do it the justice he would. But if you've been called, you're going to be justified. Justified. Simple. Legalistic term means you're not guilty. That's basic. That's very basic. If you want to get into it, Brother Jimmy's got a book that's about that thick that'll tell you a whole lot more about justification. I'm giving you the simple version. Justified means you're not guilty. And if you've been justified, you're going to be glorified. Breaks it down simply is you're going to be with Him in immortal glory. Glorified. You're going to be with Him. Where I am, you are going to be also. Very, very basic. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to go one other place though. In our songbook, I use this also down by Brother Jimmy. Song number 529 in our songbook is "Come Unto Me." And the scripture at the top of this song says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'm going to go ahead and we're going to read the verses. "Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come, no longer tarry, I your load with bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care." Do you see that? Even in this song, it bears out. Come, no longer tarry. If you've heard it, if He has spoken to your soul, come. Come, no longer tarry. I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. This chorus, we'll sing that. Well, no, we'll sing it, we'll just read it. "Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Hear me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my might. Come, my yoke is easy. Come, my burden's light." Come and trust Him. Come unto Him. "Are you disappointed wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care? Do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus. He will give you rest." Now, nobody knows what that second verse is all about, do they? We've never felt these things there, have we? Are we disappointed wandering here and there? Are we dragging chains of doubt? And were we loaded down with care? Did we have unholy feelings struggling in our breast, struggling inside of us? Did we have that? What does He say? "Bring your case to Jesus. He will give you rest." He's the great physician. He can give us rest. "Have you cares of business, cares of pressing debt, cares of social life, or cares of hope unmet? Are you by remorse or sense of guilt depressed? Come right on to Jesus. He will give you rest. Have you by temptation often conquered then? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if you'll claim His best. In the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest." Come unto Him. If you're laboring and heavy laden today, come unto Him. If you're having some of these things that are in this song, come unto Him. He will give you rest. I know there's people that they've got doubts. They've got doubts. They sit there and they say, "Well, you know that Mount Zion Church, they just got all that politics within there and everything, and they're this and they're that and whatever." If you're going to use that as an excuse, you'll never come unto Him. It has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with how we deal with things. If that's holding you back, then maybe God's speaking to your soul for a reason. Maybe you can come into the church and say, "Hey, you're not doing things right." But if He's talking to your soul, and I know where you're coming from, I struggled with it for a long time. I didn't want to either. I didn't want to give up all those things that were so near and dear to my heart back then. But you know what? He'll take away things from you. He will. He's going to take away some things from you. But He's going to give you things to put in there in place to take up those things that He's taken away from you. Do we trust in Him? Do we believe in Him? The last question, has He been revealed unto you? Who do you say that Jesus is? I'm going to leave you, every one of you, with that question. And maybe even for those that are a child of God, maybe we need to revisit that question and answer that with a true heart and with a true spirit. Who do we say that Jesus Christ is? I thank each and every one for your kind attention this morning.